going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. It's a very happy Sunday afternoon, and I hope you all are doing well. We got a lot to get into this afternoon. Hanging out with you from 4 until 7, and then Garrett Chapman will be on after me, but we got a lot of time to play with and a lot of things to get into between now and then. First and foremost, we got to talk about the Atlanta Falcons. The draft is over, and I think Falcons fans, myself included, are feeling very good about how the Falcons came out of the NFL draft. And even something that Raheem Morris talked about at the end of the night one press conference, I believe it was, talking about how they're going to be aggressive in the eighth round, even the eighth round of the NFL draft. And by that, we mean, obviously, undrafted free agents. Even that has seemingly been a success for the Atlanta Falcons as well. And we'll talk more about that and all things NFL draft and all things Atlanta Falcons coming up in about 18 minutes with our guy, Joe Patrick, Falcons insider, reporter for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. But right now, just want to again talk about the really, it's hard to think of it as anything else besides successful when you talk about this Atlanta Falcons draft thus far. So just to run it down for you completely, just in case you've been away or haven't, you know, heard all of the picks by the Atlanta Falcons thus far, here's what it looks like. Obviously, I'm sure we all know about probably the first three picks the Atlanta Falcons made. 15 overall, Falcons got that Georgia Bulldog, that pass rusher, Jalen Walker, but doubled down on pass rush, got back into the first round after a trade with the Los Angeles Rams and selected James Pierce Jr. with the 26th overall pick. Xavier Watts then became the third-round pick and the first non-edge rusher the Falcons drafted in this 2025 NFL draft. The versatile safety out of Notre Dame, Xavier Watts, fourth round, number 118 overall, by the way, if you're wondering. Xavier Watts in the third round was 96 overall. Xavier Watts, then it was on to the fourth round for the Falcons with the 118th overall pick, and they got Billy Bowman Jr. He is listed as a safety, but we heard Raheem Morris, Jeff Olbrich, Terry Fontenot all talk about him going to be playing more of that nickel spot, and he's going to add some good competition to that defensive back room, just as Xavier Watts will. And again, We'll talk more about that here in a couple of minutes and with Joe Patrick and all those sort of things. But he was the Falcons' fourth round pick, again, 118 overall. And then in the seventh round, they got a big boy out of the University of Wisconsin, and that was offensive tackle Jack Nelson. So that runs down all of the draft picks for the Falcons in the 2025 NFL draft. But wait, there's more. The Falcons have been looking good as far as the undrafted free agents they've been signing as well. And I've been seeing a lot of Falcons fans show a lot of love about what the Falcons have been doing when it comes to the UDFAs. So some of the ones of note that have been getting a lot of good feedback from Falcons fans on social media, X, wherever it may be. I just got a push notification about a topic that we are going to talk about later on in the show that is Falcons related, but I really don't want to be getting into it. So stick around for that, as we'll get into that at about, we'll get into that at about 35 minutes from now. So stick around for that topic, because it's the one. I'll tease it like this. At 5:40, we're going to talk about this. The one sore spot and the one potential black eye that's going to come out of this Atlanta Falcons draft. We're going to get into that in about 35 minutes from now at 4:40. However, right now we're going to focus on this. The Falcons undrafted free agents been looking good. Nick Nash out of San Jose State, the wide receiver, a guy that's been getting a lot of love on social media. Falcons fans loving the fact that they brought in Nick Nash. Another guy, Kobe Bryant, the cornerback out of Kansas, has gotten a lot of love as well. These are a couple of guys that, you know, a lot of people thought would end up being drafted. However, end up being undrafted free agents. And the Falcons, like Raheem Morris said, they were going to be aggressive in that eighth round. Got some guys in Kobe Bryant and Nick Nash who could end up, who knows, maybe helping this Falcons team one way or another. They did get another local player, Jordan Williams out of Georgia Tech, another tackle, and that is cool to see. You get a yellow jacket, you get a dog and a yellow jacket in this draft. So that is going to be very interesting to see how he maybe, you know, see if he can make this Falcons roster when it comes that time, when training camp comes around and things of that nature. So that's going to be very interesting to see. But those are probably the main guys when you talk about Nick Nash and when you talk about Kobe Bryant, the main guys as far as the undrafted free agent signings that have, I guess, made splashes when you talk about among Atlanta Falcons fans and have been gotten some really good feedback. But some others that are of note that I'll give you, running back Nate Carter, also an undrafted free agent signing of the Falcons. Tight end Joshua Simon from South Carolina. Joshua Gray, the guard at Oregon State. Linebacker Nick Kubitz from North Dakota State. And safety Malik Verdin out of Iowa State. And there are some others too, but those are some other notable ones as well. But again, when you go back to just looking at this draft overall, I don't see how you cannot call it a success for the Atlanta Falcons. And you know, you can get into your debates about, you know, did the Falcons win the draft and things of that nature. And, you know, it's you could say now, I think definitely there's debate about if the Falcons won the draft or not. But, you know, it's always hard to tell because these guys haven't played yet. So you're going off of, you know, what you've seen out of college and things of that nature. So, I mean, right now it's definitely looking like the Falcons are up there when you talk about who won the draft. And, you know, you look at some of the grades the Falcons have gotten, you know, you see A-minuses, A's, A-pluses. Brian Baldinger putting it out there that he thinks the Falcons are one of the most improved or the most improved team coming out of the draft. And you love to hear that. And Kirk Herbstreit loves what the Falcons did in the first round. And so all that's great. And I love all of that. So it's just good to really hear the Falcons get some positive pub nationally about what they did in the draft. Obviously, had the big shocking draft last year when they drafted Michael Penix with the eighth overall pick. And now they're, you know, it seems like they did what they were supposed to do for lack of a better term, in this draft and did not disappoint at all. So it's just good to have to go from, again, what was a shocking draft last year that ended up working out. I mean, let's not forget that. Drafting Michael Penix with the 8th overall pick seems like it worked out very well, at least for right now for the Falcons. It seems like it's going to work out really well. But to go from, obviously, the shock that was last year to having such positive feedback from the fans, from the national media, obviously from the local media, to go from what was last year to now what we've gotten this year, it's really good. And I feel really good about it. And I feel really good about what this Falcons defense and what this Falcons team can be next year when you talk about Jalen Walker and what he can bring. When you talk about James Pierce Jr. and what he can bring, and what those two guys in Walker and James Pierce Jr. can bring to this defensive line and to this Falcons pass rush. And then you go on to Xavier Watts and talk about the versatility that he's going to bring to this defensive back room. And you talk about how he's going to bring some competition and the future of the safety position for the Falcons. When you talk about, you know, Jesse Bates and Xavier Watts, you feel really good about that. And I know we got Jordan Fuller, and hopefully he's a good piece added too. But still, I mean, it's just really, really exciting. And then obviously you talk about a guy in Billy Bowman Jr. too. He's going to provide a lot of nickel competition when you talk about, you know, okay, yes, we did bring back D. Alford. Obviously we have Mike Hughes. You have Clark Phillips. But, you know, Billy Bowman Jr. is going to have something to say about what this Falcons secondary looks like as well. So it's just, again, I'm happy with the caliber of players, Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and Jeff Ulbrich, and this Falcons front office and Falcons coaching staff and scouts have brought in. I'm happy with the caliber of players. I'm happy with the position. I'm happy with the competition it seems like they're bringing in on this defensive side of the ball. And it really feels like, again, they have really improved the defensive side. And that's one of the questions that later on I'm going to ask you, and we're going to open up the phone lines at 404-726-0929. Again, a little bit, I'll go ahead and tease it now, that way you can start thinking about it. But if you had to give the Falcons defense a grade last year between A through F, what would it be? And after this 2025 NFL draft and knowing some of the undrafted free agents that they've signed, what grade would you give the Falcons defense right now? And again, I know we haven't seen these guys as far as the rookies and undrafted free agent signings. I know we haven't seen them play it down yet. But as far as what we think they can do and how we feel like they're going to project out into the NFL, what grade would you have given the Falcons defense last year? And how would you grade the Falcons defense now knowing what they did in the NFL draft? So that's a question I'm going to have for you guys later on, and something we'll talk about together, and I'll open up, and the question I'll open up the phone lines for. So excited to have that conversation with you as well. But again, overall to me, I love what the Falcons did in the draft. And again, the main takeaway is just that the positive feeling about this Falcons team and what they were able to do in this draft, having Jalen Walker fall to them, Terry Fontenot being aggressive, trading up to go get their guy in James Pierce, and then being able to get an Xavier Watts, trading up, let's not forget too, they traded up also for Xavier Watts, so Terry Fontenot being aggressive, getting his guys, then getting a nice player in Billy Bowman Jr., going out, being aggressive into the 8th round, like Raheem Morris said, and getting a Kobe Bryant, getting a Nick Nash. And so, again, you just feel like this Atlanta Falcons regime really excelled in the draft this year. And, you know, again, I know it's going to more so be about what the Falcons end up doing this season. And, you know, you hope that what they did this season will help them make the playoffs, because that is going to be the ultimate goal for the Falcons, and that's going to be the ultimate decision of whether, you know, this regime ends up being successful and whether this regime ends up getting to stay around for a while. That's going to be the ultimate goal of, or the ultimate signal, or the ultimate decision maker, I should say, of whether this team makes the playoffs or not. But coming out of this draft, you got to feel good about where this Falcons team is headed and where the future of this Falcons team is headed. So just, again, very, very happy about what they did. You get two dogs as far as pass rushers go, one actual Georgia Bulldog and one guy who you know is going to get after in James Pierce Jr. You get a versatile safety in Xavier Watts who can lower the boom on you, but is also a ball magnet, catching interceptions left and right. You get Billy Bowman Jr., who led the nation in pick sixes. I mean, you got guys who are playmakers, impact players, and can help you get turnovers and sacks on the defensive end, which is something the Falcons desperately needed last season, and hoping you're going to get a lot more of it. When you talk about getting turnovers, when you talk about getting sacks, you hope guys like, again, Jalen Walker, James Pierce Jr., Xavier Watts, Billy Bowman Jr., all guys that help the Falcons get that, and it seems like they will. But we'll continue to react to what the Falcons did in this 2025 NFL Draft with our Falcons insider and reporter, Joe Patrick. We're going to talk to Joey P next and see how he's feeling about the Falcons' Day 2 and Day 3 draft picks and some of the undrafted free agent signings as well. That's coming up next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Your early morning sports fix.
Love it like this. Let's go, let's go.
This is the Hometown Take on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday afternoon. I hope you all are doing well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 92.9 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And we are continuing to ride the high of what the Atlanta Falcons did in the 2025 NFL draft. And even what they did, as Raheem Morris calls it, the eighth round of the NFL draft as well, making a couple of nice undrafted free agent signings. And I don't know anybody else better to talk about it with than our very own insider reporter for 92.9 The Game of the Atlanta Falcons. And that is one Joe Patrick. Joe, how you doing this afternoon? I was about to say morning. I'm so used to being on in the morning.
Right.
I was about to go that direction. How you doing this Sunday afternoon, Joe Patrick?
Hey, I'm doing great, Dylan, especially after, you know, what is seemingly such a successful weekend for the Falcons in this draft. It really feels like the fan base is kind of coming together and galvanizing around these picks, and just feels like an optimistic time right now.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you said that, Joe, because before I get into my first question, just to piggyback off that point, I was talking about just that in my first segment. I was like, it's such a different feel from last year with the Michael Penix pick at eighth overall. You talk about, you know, some of the obviously it being a whole shock to everybody, not just Falcons fans, but national media, everybody, that, you know, we picked Michael Penix with the eighth overall pick. So you go from the feeling that was last year, the confusion and, you know, a little bit of the anger and the anxiousness and all that, to this year, to where everybody is just like you said, all on one accord about, yes, this was just what the Falcons needed as far as a 2025 NFL draft goes. So I'm with you,
Dylan. And it's like, you know, I've been in Flowery Branch, media room these last 2 years. And when the Michael Penix Jr. pick was made, like, we were all like ready for that press conference. Like, we could not wait. And, you know, and they came down like very stone faced, Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot, into the room and answered tough questions and gave their honest opinions, you know, and listen, I think that in retrospect, those opinions are very well taken, because it looks like the team has a franchise quarterback. But you just knew even going in that they were going to have a much easier time. And then with what ended up occurring with the, you know, Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. both in the first round, you knew that it was going to be kind of a celebratory night.
Absolutely. And, you know, we've seen all smiles, as we usually do. But last year, like you said, it was tough for, you know, Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, you know, having to go up and answer some tough questions in front of the media. But, you know, this year, it's been all smiles on the faces of Terry and Raheem, and rightfully so, because it seems like they have hit about just every pick in this year's draft. Joe, I do want to go away from the sunshine and rainbows just for a little bit, because I really just want to go ahead and get this out of the way, because I really only have one question on this matter, and I hate to even bring it up, but at this point the Falcons have released a statement on it, and you know it has come out about the unfortunate prank call that was made from Jax Olbrich, the son of our defensive coordinator, Jeff Olbrich. And the only thing I want to ask, I don't want to even get too much into the situation. To me, it is what it is, and you know, statements have been made and all that put out there. The only question I have for you on this, Joe, do you think there will be any sort of punishment given from the NFL to the Atlanta Falcons?
I don't think so. I don't know if there's any kind of precedent for this kind of thing, but I think if anything, there would be potentially a fine levied towards Jeff Olbrich, you know, for like a security breach. But I don't know if that's something that the organization can really be punished for in the form of like sanctions and draft picks. So I don't know, but I would not think so. But I would not be surprised to see some sort of individual punishment for Olbrich.
Yeah, I would typically agree. Like you said, there was, you know, something about a security breach or something like that. That makes sense. But I'm with you. I hope, and I don't think, just like you said, the Falcons as an organization, like you said, can be punished in any way, shape, or form for this go ahead.
And Dylan, it's worth saying that it feels like the organization, you know, based on what they've said, have, you know, as soon as they found out about it, I think it was obviously pretty embarrassing for them. And it looks like they've done everything possible to try to smooth things over with the Sanders family, including, you know, making contact and with the son who, you know, leaked the information, for him to also apologize individually. So I'd like to give the organization credit for that, even though that's something you just ugly, you know, you just don't like to see that kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's obviously, and before we move on, it definitely is a little bit of a black eye or a sore spot on what, like we were just talking about, has been a really great weekend and a great really Thursday last few days for the Falcons when you talk about what they've done in the NFL draft. So kind of a sore spot when you talk about a way to end the draft with this coming out. But at the end of the day, like you said, all kudos to the Atlanta Falcons, because it does seem like as soon as they found out and were made aware of the situation, they have done everything and will continue to do everything they possibly can to make it right. So I did want to just bring that up and ask about the punishment, just because, again, it has been made pretty public, and, you know, statements have been made at this point.
Sure.
But moving on, let's get back into the positivity of the draft. And I want to ask you about actually our fourth round pick, Billy Bowman Jr., the defensive back from Oklahoma. So it comes out that, you know, he is going to be playing more nickel, and that's what the Falcons more so envision for him. Joe, what kind of competition do you think that creates when you talk about this defensive back room, when you talk about a D. Alford, when you talk about a Mike Hughes, when you talk about a Clark Phillips? I mean, is Billy Bowman going to be a guy that can, you know, have some say when you talk about who can end up being this nickel corner?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the Falcons deserve so much credit for the creativity they showed in acquiring Bowman a little bit later in the draft than it would have been to go after, say, you know, the Maxwell Harrisons or the Will Johnsons or, you know, any of these other like top, you know, upper tier cornerback prospects that would have been available for them. And the reason why they should get credit for it, why it's creative, is because of the role specifically that they are trying to fill at nickelback. They were never trying to really replace Mike Hughes. Like, they signed Mike Hughes to a new contract to come back and play the outside corner opposite AJ Terrell. You still need a starting caliber player to play nickelback. That is a starter in the NFL. And so one of the hard things to do in trying to find a prospect that can fit that is have the requisite experience to play that position, because it's very different from an outside corner. I mean, think about it. You've got players like on all sides of you now, instead of just being on, having the sideline to protect you. You've got to be physical in run support and know your gaps. And so you need someone who has experience doing that. And that's exactly what Billy Bowman has. 626 snaps in the slot in college. You're looking for like 100 for a potential nickelback. You know, so 600, that's great versatility. 431 snaps lined up inside the box, and he's really quick, and he's not the biggest guy, but you don't necessarily need to be at nickel. As long as you're physical and you can tackle well, and we've seen that he's a playmaker in college with double-digit interceptions in his career. So I think it's just a great pick by the Falcons team.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. And like you said, the creativity is something that we need to talk about as well. Again, seeing a guy for, you know, not just what, you know, his position says when you look him up on ESPN, but knowing what exactly all his skill sets are and just the versatility that he does bring. And speaking of versatility, I want to get into that too, Joe, because when you talked about, and specifically, I think this was during their night, Terry Fontenot, what he was talking about during his night two recap press conference, and wanting these versatile guys that we've seen them brought in. When you talk about Jalen Walker, he's a guy that he could play linebacker. He could come off the edge, which we know Jeff Olbrich wants him to master that edge, and we'll get to that in a few minutes. But he's a guy that can be versatile. And when you talk about a guy like Xavier Watts, he can be versatile. Billy Bowman Jr., who we just talked about, can be versatile. I think it really plays into – you can tell that, you know, Jeff Olbrich and, you know, him saying that this is going to be a more versatile defense, you can tell that they really leaned into that in this draft and getting versatile players.
No doubt about it. Versatility and just general athleticism. You know what I'm talking about? Like just like that dynamism, that ability to like track someone down sideline to sideline. If you watch the highlights from these guys, James Pierce Jr., Jalen Walker, they are so good at covering. And I feel like this doesn't kind of like get like talked about enough, but like really covering the flats.
Yes.
Because that's where like a lot of dangerous plays happen in the NFL, whether that's a running back leaking out into that area late and the quarterback being able to kind of flip it to them and them running for extra yards, whether it's the quarterback actually himself getting out in that position and then being able to create plays. And these guys have like long arms. They're obviously very quick. And they just, like, when you go watch their highlights, they just smother those areas. I was actually just watching some highlights of James Pierce Jr., you know, just like quarterbacks thinking they can, like, kind of get the edge on him and at least scramble for some yards. And he's 6'5", and he runs a 4.47. He swallows people up. And so that's been an area for this Falcons team, Dylan, that I feel like has been in the other way, basically, for the last few years. Because they've had guys like James Smith-Williams last year, Calais Campbell, like these are, and not necessarily bad players, but they're just not the most athletic, they're just not the greatest athletes at this point in time, especially in comparison to these guys. And in this modern NFL where you've got, you know, these mobile quarterbacks kind of making their way into the pro game, I think that, you know, these are great antidotes to use against them to just match up with athleticism. That's what's exciting about the Falcons defense. It just feels like a young, athletic group again.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm so glad you brought up the point about bringing these guys in Jalen Walker and James Pierce. And I mean, if you want to throw in other offseason acquisition, we talk about, you know, Divine Diablo and guys like that, guys who are going to be athletic enough to go get those mobile quarterbacks like a Jaden Daniels. I mean, when you look at, you know, how the Falcons lost that game, I mean, he had 42 rushing yards in overtime alone, 127 in that game, in that penultimate game for the Falcons in against Washington. So I mean, that game, that was a big reason. The Falcons not being able to stop mobile quarterbacks was a huge reason the Falcons have struggled against not only the Commanders in that game, but moving forward. Joe, I want to get, while we got just about a minute left, and it is Joe Patrick, our 92.9 The Game Falcons insider reporter. Make sure you follow him on social media at JAPatrick200 as well. Joe, I do want to ask you quickly about just a couple of these undrafted free agent signings that have seemed to go over well as far as Falcons social media goes. When you talk about Nick Nash, the wide receiver out of San Jose State, and Kobe Bryant, the Kansas cornerback. Do you feel like these guys have a pretty good chance of maybe making the Falcons roster when it comes to that point? And two, you know, obviously, we're a long way away from it, but, you know, as undrafted free agent signings go, I mean, I know anything's possible, but do you feel pretty good about either one of these guys at some point making an impact for the team?
Yeah, I think both those guys you called out there, Dylan, are probably, I would put them as maybe slightly above 50-50 in order to make the team. These are good quality prospects. And, you know, like Kobe Bryant, for example, was a guy that was getting mocked pretty consistently in, like, third, fourth, fifth round, somewhere in there. So for him to go undrafted and the Falcons be able to pick a guy like him up, that is great for them and just gives them more options to choose from when it comes around. And, you know, even if they don't make the 53 necessarily, practice squad, never hurts to have that kind of depth. And Terry said they were going to be aggressive in what he called the eighth round, and he certainly proved to be right there.
Exactly right. Joe Patrick, that is our Falcons insider and reporter for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Again, follow him on social media, on X, Twitter, whatever you want to call it, at JAPatrick200. Joe, thank you so much for the time this afternoon, brother. Thank you.
Anytime. Thanks, Dylan. Appreciate you having me on.
Yes, sir. That is, again, Joe Patrick, our Falcons insider reporter for Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One last time, follow him at JAPatrick200 on social media. All right. When we come back, we talked about a little bit with Joe. I do want to just give you my take and my quick thoughts on it because it has now become, I don't know if official is the right word, but, you know, basically official. The son of Jeff Ulbrich, Jax Ulbrich, has come out and put out an apology for the prank call that he made to Shedeur Sanders. If you haven't seen the video, you can go find it. I just quickly want to give you my take on it because, again, it is a sad situation. It has become definitely a big story. And to me, it's just unfortunate that this happened for the Falcons after having, again, such a positive draft this year. This is just a bad black eye to me on it. So
I want you to name one kid named Jax who has contributed anything to this world that's worth anything.
Man, you know, to me, again, just a sad situation.
The only other Jax I can think of is Jax Collinsworth, and he's terrible too.
We're going to talk about it next, man. It is the Hometown Take with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Your first look at the Atlanta sports scene every weekday morning. This is the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday afternoon. I hope you all are doing well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. I got a Falcons draft question for you. I'm going to ask you right now. Phone lines will be open here in just a minute. 404-726-0929. How would you grade the Falcons defense last year? What grade between obviously A through F would you give the Falcons defense last year? Okay. And based on what the Falcons have done so far this year, free agency and the draft, what grade would you give the Falcons defense this year based on what you think the Falcons defense is going to be this year? Obviously, we haven't seen these guys play a snap yet together, and we haven't seen the rookies do anything in the Falcons uniform yet. I understand that. But based on what you think this Falcons defense is going to be able to do and is going to be capable of this year, how would you grade the Falcons defense this year, coming up this year, versus how you grade the Falcons defense last year? 404-726-0929. That is the question. 404-726-0929 is the number to call in and give your take. I will give you my take in just a couple of minutes, but I do want to go ahead and just spend literally just a few minutes on this. There is not a whole lot to say on it, but it is news. It is a story, and I do want to bring this information to you. So, the Falcons have released a statement about what has gone on with the prank call that happened between Jax Ulbrich and Shedeur Sanders. If you haven't seen the video, it's out there on social media. It is what it is. So here's the Falcons statement. Early in the week, Jax Ulbrich, the 21-year-old son of defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich, unintentionally came across the draft contact phone number for Shedeur Sanders off an open iPad while visiting his parents' home and wrote the number down to later conduct a prank call. Jeff Ulbrich was unaware of the data exposure or any facets of the prank and was made aware of the above only after the fact. The Atlanta Falcons do not condone this behavior and send our sincere apologies to Shedeur Sanders and his family, who we have been in contact with to apologize to, as well as facilitate an apology directly from Jax to the Sanders family. We have also been in contact with the NFL and will continue to cooperate fully with any inquiries we may receive from the NFL League office. We are thoroughly reviewing all protocols and updating if necessary to help prevent an incident like this from happening again. That is the statement from the Falcons. So, look, again, not going to say too much on this. Again, it is what it is. Jax Ulbrich also put out a statement. I will quickly give you that one as well. He says this via his Instagram. On Friday night, I made a tremendous mistake, Shador. What I did on Friday night, I made a tremendous mistake, if I can read. On Friday night, I made a tremendous mistake. Shador, what I did was completely inexcusable, embarrassing, and shameful. I'm so sorry I took away from your moment. It was selfish and childish. I can never imagine getting ready to celebrate one of the greatest moments of your life, and I made a terrible mistake and messed with that moment. Thank you for accepting my car earlier today. I hope you can find it in your heart to forgive me. And then he tags Shador Sanders. So, again, he has apologized for it. The Falcons have put in a statement talking about it. It was a mistake. Yes. It was a bad mistake. Yes. And it, to me, my main thing is the Falcons have had, and this is what I was talking with Joe Patrick just a few minutes ago, last segment, if you missed it. To me, my main thing is the Falcons have had such a great last few days between what they did in the first round of the draft and what they've done all draft, what, you know, some of the undrafted free agent signings they made too. It just, they've had such a positive draft and such a positive last few days that this happening is unfortunate because it's just a little bit of a sore, a little bit of a black eye to what has been such a positive weekend, and Thursday included, obviously. It's just been so good what the Falcons have done, and you can tell they have really galvanized the fan base, and this fan base is all together, and you know, and feel like there's a new hope and a new fire behind the fan base in this franchise. And so for that to happen, and it just puts a little bit of a gray cloud over what has been so good over these last couple days when it comes to the Falcons draft. To me, that's my only thing. It was a mistake. When you're young, you make mistakes. Unfortunately for Jax Obrick, this was a big mistake that was supposed to, you know, be a, you know, somewhat harmless prank call, and it ended up turning into now a big thing that, you know, again is a little bit of a sore spot for a whole NFL organization that is the Atlanta Falcons. And so, again, just an unfortunate situation. Again, you make mistakes in life. Young kids make mistakes. That's what happens. I've made mistakes in my youth, as I'm sure you have made mistakes in your youth. So it happens, and I'm not excusing it in the slightest. I am not excusing it at all. It was a bad mistake, but I don't want to, you know, harp on a guy too much for just making a bad mistake, because we've all made mistakes. So that is what it is. That's really all I have to say about the situation. And I would rather, when we take phone calls here, I would rather not discuss that, just because, again, it is what it is. There's not too much more to say on the situation. Let's just keep it positive and talk about the good that has happened with the Atlanta Falcons when it comes to the NFL draft. So, again, 404-726-0929. My question to you is, how would you have graded, or how do you grade the Atlanta Falcons defense from last year, A through F, obviously, and then based on what you think this Falcons defense can do and will be capable of this upcoming season, how would you grade the Atlanta Falcons defense going in to this 2025 season? 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number. We'll get a few phone calls here. Let's first head out to Dre, who's riding around and getting in the car. Dre, what's going on, man? How you doing? What's going on, Dre?
Hey, man. I don't understand your question.
Oh, Dre, I'm sorry, brother. Try and call back, Dre. You sounded real choppy like, Dre. You sounded real, real choppy like, Dre. So try to call me back. You sound a little robotic and a little choppy there. 404-726-0929. Let's try again. Let's head out to Griffin and talk to Tim. Tim, what's going on? How you doing this afternoon?
Oh, man. It's a great day for a good day.
That's right. I love that. I love that,
man,
Tim.
Look, you done shut me down already about this whole prank call stuff, but look, we'll set that aside for a second. I do want to ask you one thing about it, but
yeah.
Absolutely A-plus on the draft. Absolutely. We are going into this off season. We're going into this new season with just so much positivity. I mean, last year we had Kurt. We made a couple of signings, some free agents, this and that, and we as a fan base felt good. Like, hey, we're not playing around. We're going after it. Got a new coach. We got some legitimate veteran pieces, and we're going to put this thing together around some of our draft picks that we thought they just needed to be unlocked. But that was on the offensive side. Now we finally got the defensive players that we feel really good about. But my thing is, we've got this coach, man. We've got a D coordinator that I think he gets you ready to run through a wall.
Yeah.
He was really fired up about the picks. Man, I've been anxious to see him and what is he going to do with these pieces, right?
Right.
Because of his style, because of the type of energy that he gives off. We talk a lot about culture, a lot about energy, at least when it comes to Raheem Morris. But we've got that on the defensive side now. We've got a guy that's really going to probably unlock these draft picks we got. However, let's not just push it to the side so quick. What do you think is the ramifications of this? Now, yeah, we've all made mistakes. He's young. That was stupid. We're in a society now where everybody's doing stuff for clicks, tags, ads, views. I mean, come on. Who released a video of them doing the call? One of them did. Why? It wasn't enough just to do the call. See, when we were growing up, it was enough just to do the knocking, to do the calling, all that kind of stuff. Mm. But now they want some clout for having done it. And now look, knucklehead was in the room. What did you think was going to happen? It got back to you so quick. But what do you think? Because this feels like a gut punch. You know, We are so fired up with this A+. Like, we really went in this draft and did it. You know, we got some guys that we feel really solid about adding to this team. And some guys, I mentioned it already before. We've got some guys from the last year, the previous year, that feel like, hey, they're returning. You know, these are some extra draft picks we're getting to add to this defensive unit. And now we got this D coordinator going to put it all together. What do you think? Could we lose our defensive coordinator over this situation? Because, look, it's not a game that this number got out. You know, how did the number get out? Obviously, he's taking accountability for it. But you can't put people's personal information out. When you watch the clip, Shador says, hey, no one's got this number. But they did. So what do you think is Jeff's role in this, and could we potentially now lose our defensive coordinator over this situation? Yeah. Hey, great show, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it, Tim. Thank you so much for the call, brother. And again, this is I let Tim ask the question because he was real respectful about it. But again, I don't want to the calls that I'm taking now are not about this. So again, this is the last thing I'm gonna comment on this. Again, I know it's a story. So again, I have talked about it. I'm gonna give my take on it one last time. And I will. And the one thing I did not mention, that's why I let Tim ask the question. I did not mention what I think the ramifications will be. We did quickly, briefly talk about it with Joe Patrick just a few minutes ago. So here, as far as ramifications go, I personally, my opinion is I do not think Jeff Ulbrich will lose his job over this. I do not think Jeff Ulbrich will lose his job over this. There could be a fine. There might be a fine. As far as, you know, Jeff Ulbrich and, you know, whether or not it was, even though it was unintentional from everything I believe and from what the statement the Falcons, Atlanta Falcons have put out, I do believe obviously it was unintentional that Jax got access to this number. Again, it, in the Falcons statement, it said it came from an open iPad. So I don't think, again, Jeff Ulbrich is going to lose his job, but there could be a fine. There could be some sort of penalty to Jeff Ulbrich himself, to just Jeff Ulbrich. I don't think the Falcons will end up being punished as a whole. And Joe Patrick said the same thing when I had him on the phone as a guest just a little bit ago. So there could be a fine, and there could be that sort of punishment towards Jeff Ulbrich himself. But as far as the Falcons getting punished and as far as there being any other ramifications, as far as, you know, Jeff Ulbrich losing his job, I do not think that'll happen. There may be a fine, and I don't think there will be much more than that. We'll see. But, again, it was an unfortunate mistake, and it was an unfortunate thing that happened. But, it's a young kid. Young people tend to not always think things through. And, you know, that was this was a thing that was not thought through for Jack Solberg. So, again, I don't think there will be any more ramifications, any punishments besides maybe a fine to Jeff Olbrich. I think that'll be the most of it. Because at this point, Falcons want to move on from it. Jack Solberg, Jeff Olbrich, they want to move on from it. And they're going to do their best to move past this as quickly as possible. So, there you have it. All right, we will keep the phone lines open for my question about the Falcons defense. Again, what grade would you give the Falcons defense this past season? And based on what you think this Falcons defense will be able to do this upcoming season, what would you grade the Falcons defense going into the 2025 season? That's coming up next here on Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday afternoon. With you until 7 o'clock here on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.